Well, it's good to be here this morning, and I really, truly appreciate the opportunity to be here and appreciate Brother Mark's invitation. The thing that I wanted to talk about today is a question, really, that I want us to all honestly ask ourselves, and that question is, are we truly thankful? I normally don't do messages just because of certain holidays coming up. I normally don't do that, but this was on my mind, and it just happened to be that Thanksgiving is coming up. And so it would be a good time, I think, for us to ask ourselves the question of, are we truly thankful? For the past number of years, me and my family have been on quite a bit of a journey. We've been through a lot of things. We've made a lot of mistakes, and just trying to sort through all the religious confusion that's out there has left us at times confused and wondering where to go and what to do and how do we respond to people that are opposing the direction that we're trying to go. And just many questions have been on my mind, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. But I am thankful that God has been merciful. And I'm thankful for God's patience that He's had with me in trying to genuinely seek to follow His Word and to seek to rightly divide it. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 12, is the first place that I want to look. And I want us to consider how that thankfulness is really a part of putting on the new man. Right. It's a reflection of the new man.
Yes.
Colossians 3, verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." You know, without charity, without the love of God, you can't have a group of people bound together. We know that Christ said that by love, all men would know that we are His disciples. And it's not the love that compromises truth that people say is love today, but it's genuine love, the love of God, love as God loves. Christ loves righteousness and hates iniquity. So that's the love of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John, forget the exact verses, that this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So we need to define what love really is. But He says in verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So letting the peace of God rule in your heart and being thankful is kind of tied together there. They kind of flow together. In verse 16 it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So there in verse 17 it tells us basically that everything that we do, we are to do it to glorify God, and we're to do it with a thankful heart, is what it's saying there. But in verse 16, where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you," you know, when Jesus talked about abide in me, it's related to following His word, remaining in His word. You can't separate the two. Over in chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 6, it says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So the Bible has a lot to say about thanksgiving, being thankful. And it's linked to being rooted and built up in Him. And I've met so many people that you tried to help and you had high hopes for them, but it's like they never really got rooted and grounded. I mean, it kind of goes back to the parable of the sower. There's going to be different kind of grounds. As we share the truth, as we sow the word, it's going to land on different kinds of ground. I mean, some of it's going to fall on stony places. It's going to spring up and you see, well, these people look like they're doing great. but there's no root there. And when troublesome time come, or when persecution comes, or something will come that'll cause that to wither away. There's many who they seem to be bearing fruit, but we know that there's some that falls among thorns, and Jesus explained how that's those who allow the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things that enter in, and it chokes the word out of their lives. I've seen families that begin to compromise and allow certain things in their homes, and it begins to choke out the word of God. I mean, we see this all throughout America, how families, instead of going to church, as one preacher said, they'd rather watch a bunch of grown men throw a pigskin down a cow pasture for a few hours. I mean, and they let stuff like that just completely replace family devotionals and things of that sort. It's just, I mean, America is full of that. And we're seeing the consequences of it. Which is the next thing that I want to talk about. Over in Romans chapter 1, and we know this is pretty familiar scriptures to us, I want to talk about the consequences of being unthankful. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, and this has to do with people suppressing the knowledge of God. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the result of being unthankful, refusing to give glory to God, is that they became vain.
Right.
And we see that, you know, people call this holiday Thanksgiving, but yet the following day they have these Black Friday sales, they call them, and they're ready to fight somebody over a DVD player or a big screen TV. How thankful is that? Well, they become vain. You know, we see this even in the church among professing Christians. I was talking to Levi, Brother Levi himself, and he was telling me how, you know, just going and visiting other churches that are supposed to be conservative, and the young people are driving big jacked up trucks, and just, I mean, it's a joke. But what it is a lot of times people that are even brought up in, you know, so-called conservative homes, they're unthankful. They don't appreciate what their parents have stood for. They don't appreciate the way that they've been brought up in, and they become vain. You know, it's sad at how you can try to explain biblical principles to people, and we see how people just give themselves over to vanity. I've told people before how that, you know, a lot of these women, you know, they spend $50 or $60 to get their hair done up in a way that looks like it got caught in one of those ceiling fans, and it just it's vain. It's pointless. But it has to do with not having a humble heart. It has to do with not being submitted to the Word of God and being thankful for biblical principles.
Right.
Well, how can unthankfulness affect us? I want to look in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because this is not, I don't want this to just be something that, you know, we think, well, you know, this is for a church down the road or for this group or that group. But I want us to all consider how that unthankfulness can get a hold of our hearts.
Amen.
In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10, the Lord warned the people about something. He said, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, and that He might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. You know, it's so important, I think, for us to remember where we came from.
Amen.
And to never forget that. It's so easy for us to be puffed up with pride and forget where we were once at.
Right.
And, you know, just to share my personal testimony, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, although it was, we were homeschooled some because my parents, even though they didn't go to church, they were concerned about some of the things that they saw, even when I think I was in the third grade when they took us out of public school, and they saw things that concerned them, and so they took us out of public school. We were not a godly family by any means, but I thank God for that they cared enough to get us out of the public school, at least for some years. But as we grew up, me and my brother, I just had one brother, and as we got a little bit older, my mom and dad, and I'm not blaming them, we chose our own way. You know, I'm responsible for my own sin, but when we were very young, they allowed us to have our own television in our own room with our own satellite box with full access to, and you know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And a child left to himself will come to absolute ruin. And so, of course, I don't even have to explain the road that I went down, but when I was in ninth grade, we were put back in public school. And I remember, you know, we didn't go to church or anything, but we were always taught that the Bible was true, which that's what most Americans are taught. But when we went to school, I soon learned that I wasn't up with the latest styles, and, you know, you easily get made fun of in those kind of environments. And so I began just desperately to try to fit in. You know, which crowd do I belong with? And, you know, I just went through such a struggle and didn't have nobody there to help me. And I remember, you know, I used to be involved in many things that are shameful. And I remember, you know, when I'd be out with my friends, I always wanted to be the one that just, you know, made everybody laugh. And I wanted to be the one that just was just known to be, you know, the guy you want to be around and things like that. But when I was by myself, I would just cry. And I would cry, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. I was so miserable. And, you know, I think that's the way that's just the fruit of what you're sowing. And, you know, I remember being there, and I'm thankful for, you know, I don't want to even think about the things that I used to do, but I am thankful to reflect back on my life and where I was and how sad it was. And, you know, you all who are being brought up in a godly home, never, never fail to appreciate what your parents are doing. You will see your parents make mistakes. Don't let people point out those faults in your parents to discourage you. Look at the overall pattern of their life. And then look at the overall pattern of the people's lives who are doing the criticism. And I think you'll be able to see, you know, which direction who is going. But anyway, it's easy for us, as the children of Israel did, to just get caught up in what we call the American dream and forget about God's purpose for our life. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. And I want to look back in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And back in verse 17 where he said, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all things, or do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Right in the next verse, he starts talking about our relationships.
Yes.
Wives and husbands. Husbands and wives. Children and parents and so on. And you know, we need to not get carried away and to think that, you know, I used to think that unless I'm doing just some big thing, preaching to a crowd of 1,000 people or something, that I'm just, you know, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. But if we're not submitting to these simple things, then those things, you know, God's not going to give us those bigger things to do. And if we are doing those bigger things and we're not doing these things, then all the rest is going to be hypocrisy anyway. But he says in verse 18, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. All of these things are just everyday things that we experience. I mean, we're around our families every day. I mean, these are just things that we just do as we interact in our daily lives. And, you know, these are just life principles, basically. And we are to do these things and walk in these things with thankfulness in our hearts. You know, these principles help us to realize that we should never take our families for granted. We should never take the jobs that the Lord has blessed us with for granted. We are such a blessed people. You know, I hear so many stories about places where Christians are being persecuted. We don't know anything about that sort of thing. I mean, we don't know what it would be like. I read a story just recently about a family that was living in, I think it was Syria, where all these civil wars were going on, and the family was scared, and they had an option of leaving and being safe or staying there, and so they were praying, should they stay or should they go? And they felt like they should stay right there and be a witness. And I think the story said something about how that there was a group of Muslims, a real radical group of Muslims that were coming around there, and they were just trying to persecute those who wouldn't go along with their program there. But anyway, the parents explained to their children, they said at any time these people could come through our doors, they could, you know, pull out one of their swords and put them to our necks, and we're going to see blood, and you know, we're going to die. But you know, we've chose to stay here, and we want to be faithful. We don't even know anything. I mean, you know, we think that, you know, if it's a rainy day, it's a trial to get to church or something. I mean, we're just in such a Laodicean type of generation. And taking for granted the blessings that God has given us is such a dangerous thing, because, you know, when we think about the manna that God fed the children of Israel with, over a while, you know, at first, that was probably pretty interesting to them. At first, that they saw that as God's miraculous provision. But over time, they began to be sick of it.
Yes.
You know, and God gives us daily bread today. And are we content in whatever state that we are in today? Are we thankful for whatever state that we are in today? Some of you have heard this testimony. Maybe some of you haven't. But several years ago, something happened to me that has helped me to appreciate things a lot more. It's helped me to learn not to take my family, my children, and stuff for granted. On August the 4th of 2010, we were living in a place called Harlan, Kentucky. And I worked for a man. He was a holiness preacher, and he owned a small mining repair company. We worked on mining equipment. And we were working on a bulldozer. And they were, what we had to do is we had to take one of the tracks out of the bulldozer, and because they had gotten too loose, and we were putting the pin back through the tracks, and the pin was probably about, I don't know, that big around, maybe that long or so, and they were driving it back in there, and they was using a 16-pound sledgehammer, and I was standing on the opposite side, because whenever they would hit it, and it wasn't going, they had heated up the track and stuff to try to get it to go, but anyway, it went so far, and it just didn't want to hardly go anymore. But they got me to stand on the opposite side and hold a pretty large piece of metal to keep the track from bouncing so they could get a more solid lick on it. Well, anyway, to make a long story short as possible, a piece of that pin, the doctor said later, it was probably about as big as the end of your finger, it chipped off, and it hit me like a bullet. And I went back. I was kind of leaned over like this when it happened, and it went in about right here somewhere. And, I mean, almost immediately, the blood was just pumping. And I had had pretty much like first aid courses. It didn't take, you know, a doctor to realize that that's hit some kind of artery or something because of the way that it was bleeding. My friend that was with me, his dad's the one that owned the business, he said that each pump would have probably filled up a coffee cup. But I held my hand there. And they laid me down on the ground, and I told them to tell my wife and kids that I loved them. Just before then, there was a man that had sent me a CD set, And I don't agree with everything that this fella. I appreciated this CD set, but you know, later on I realized there were some doctrinal differences that I wouldn't agree with everything. But it was by Denny Kenniston on the Godly Home series, and the Lord really used that to do a work in my family's life, and that was just before this had happened. And so I was getting a better vision for my family, and then this, and I thought for sure that was going to be it, and so I was scared, not for myself, because I thought, where are my kids going to go? We were seeing things at the church where we were at that I was uncomfortable with, and I thought, oh no. And so it really troubled me. And we prayed, and to make a long story short, they called 911, and we were up kind of like almost up in the woods where we was working at, and they didn't really understand where we were at, and so they loaded me in one of the guys' trucks, and we met the ambulance. They took me to the closest hospital, and they sewed up the wound, and they did a scan, and that doctor said, there's a piece of metal that's still in there. I thought, And so they flew me to UK Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky. And overall total, from the time of the accident, which was, I think it was 18 after 12 that day, and when I got surgery at UK Hospital, it was 10 after 8 that night. And what was amazing is that doctor told me that that piece of metal went all the way through the carotid artery. I mean, he said in one side, out the other, and was in the jugular vein when he found it. And so you're not supposed to live that long, I don't think. Somebody sent me an article and said you're supposed to have 2 minutes if those get cut. But I just believe that it was the mercy of God. And, you know, since then, it has helped me to get a better perspective on life. We read the scriptures about how that our life is like a vapor, but we don't really believe it. We think that tomorrow is going to be another day, and the next day will be too. That's not always the case. And so, when we talk about thankfulness, you know, appreciate your family. Appreciate what you have here. You know, we're struggling. You know, where we're at, it's a hard situation, and we're struggling. We want to see something get started there in that area. And you're very blessed to have what you have. But you know, I think the Lord appreciates genuine thankfulness. You know, when we think about the story of the 10 lepers, you know, all 10 of them were healed, but only one came back to give the Lord thanks. And the Lord recognized that. You know, it's so easy for us to just not consider how much God has blessed us.
Right.
It's so easy for us to just complain about silly things, things that shouldn't even really be an issue, and we complain about it. And little problems that we see even in the church and things like that, people complain and they make it a huge issue and they cause all sorts of division and things. People need to have a right perspective on life. You know, we really appreciate, though we don't really know all of you very well, but we really appreciate, you know, what we've learned since I've been, you know, listening to Brother Mark, and we really appreciate what it seems like y'all are trying to do here. And so I want to encourage you to have a thankfulness. You know, you young people, you may not understand what it's like to come from a background that I come from. And maybe some of you did come from a background similar to mine. But be thankful for what your parents are doing. Be thankful for the environment that they're trying to give to you. Never look at it as though, you know, people will try to tell you, oh, your parents are setting all these rules and stuff. Oh, like it's just some sort of bad thing. Don't look at it that way. Look at it as a blessing. They're trying to protect you from what's out there in the world. I wish that I would have been brought up like that. But it's important for us to examine ourselves, to consider what our motives is in life. What is our purpose in life? You know, and this is not exactly on the subject of thankfulness, but wrong motives is a really dangerous thing. And I want to show you how that wrong motives can lead to a wrong direction. We're going to be looking in Numbers chapter 22, and we're going to be talking about the story of Balaam. And this is just really interesting to me because I see this in the religious world. I see how that wrong motives is a very, very destructive thing. When you allow hidden motives, another agenda besides what God has said to do, it's a really dangerous path to go down. And I want to show you about Balaam here in Numbers chapter 22. It's interesting how in verse 16, listen to what Balaam said, because the thing that Balaam said was good. Most of the things that Balaam said was, I mean, if you would have just listened to him, it sounded like he was trying to stand for the truth in some places. But he had other motives. He had other hidden agendas. But in verse 16, it says, "They came to Balaam and said to him, 'Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people.'" So the king Balak, he tried to basically hire Balaam to curse God's people. Listen to what Balaam said back. Verse 18 says, "Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, 'If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more.'" Sounds like Balaam was sola scriptura, wasn't he?
Yeah, right.
No, what I'm getting at is his words sounded pretty good.
Yes.
And I hear this in the religious world. People say, "We go by the Bible and that's all we follow."
That's right.
But is that the reality? Or is there other motives? Well, another thing is how that Balaam even met with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him. A lot of times people think, well, I've received revelations from the Lord. They think, well, you know, I talk with the Lord. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean you're right. We can see that Balaam even prophesied. He prophesied things that were even true. That still doesn't mean that he was of God. In chapter 23, verse 18, just another example of how Balaam, what he said wasn't so bad. And that's what I've noticed in a lot of the churches that we've been around. It's not so much what they say that's bad. It's what they don't say.
Right, that's right.
In verse 18, he says, he took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken to me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. I cannot reverse it." So it seems like he's really standing on the word of God. Verse 26, it says, "But Balaam answered and said to Balak, Told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do." And I've seen people, I think I shared with Brother Mark before the service, how that I've been going to a local jail, a door open there for us to minister once a month there, and they put me with a guy who's a Baptist preacher. And that's interesting how that's working all out. But this guy, he's full of zeal. I mean, he'll get up there and he'll preach against homosexuality, he'll preach against fornication, but then he preaches once saved, always saved. And what he does, and this is pretty typical, he tries to usher people into a one-time acknowledgement of a few scriptures in Romans, and they'll you know, he'll basically read those verses and basically just get them to agree with those verses, and he says, "Well, welcome to the family of God." And then I get up and preach why that's not so, and so it's, I don't know how that's going to work out, but it's interesting that those inmates, you know, I showed the different places where there's warnings of people doing despite to the Spirit of grace and counting the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing, and they'll go, you know, they nod. It's amazing how you can take sinners that have not been trained in this stuff, and they see what you're saying. But it's the preachers that you have to fight with.
Yeah.
But anyway, we see this. We see how that Balaam, actually, chapter 24 of Numbers, and verse 13 is another example. And this really sounds good. It says, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad." of my own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And that's the way a lot of people talk today. They say, yeah, I'm going to go by the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone. But the thing of it is that they have some sort of hidden motive. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 2, it talks about those who go the way of Balaam. And just something interesting that I want to point out here. I'm sure you're all familiar with these scriptures, but 2 Peter 2:15, and of course it's talking about, in the context here, false teachers. Verse 15 says, which have forsaken the right way. They knew what was right, but they forsook the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Right there was Balaam's problem. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. And you know, there are people that's their motive. You know, that's their whole ministry is, I must say what appeals to the people because that's what's going to profit me. I mean, they're running a program and they can't mess up the program.
Right.
Well, over in the book of Jude, is another place for I want us to consider. The book of Jude, verse 11 here, down through 13, says, for woe unto them, they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now, verse 13 is the one I want to look at. It says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, if you remember in the book of Revelation, it talks about how the Lord walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks which represented the churches. What did the stars represent?
Yeah.
It was the angels of those churches or the messengers of those churches. And actually, if you look over, we don't have to turn there, but over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is talking about Titus and some of the others, and he said these are the messengers of the churches. Well, if the stars there in Jesus' right hand in Revelation are the messengers of the churches, who's the wandering stars? That's the ministers of Satan. That's the ones that are going in a different way. That's the ones that have another agenda. And like I said, I know that this really doesn't relate directly to being thankful, but the thing that I want to point out is that, you know, I want you all to be thankful for what I believe Brother Mark and the others are doing here. You know, we've been warned by folks. Several people have told us, they said, you need to watch out. You need to watch out. And we've seen nothing but wanting to practice biblical Christianity. That's all that we've seen. And, you know, me and my family, we have a lot to learn. You know, we're sorting through things just like anybody has to. But, you know, we're thankful for what we see here. And we're thankful for the kindness and the, you know, originally, several years back, I was still living in Kentucky. And I had been influenced by charity ministries and groups of similar beliefs. And I came across Mark's website. And a few years later, you know, I got looking at it again and I thought, this would be easy to refute. And so I started sending him a few questions. And I saw real quick, and when I actually took the time to read what he said, instead of just criticizing what I thought I understood in my mind, it clicked. I mean, there was several questions that he brought out in some of his books that just, we were in the group that we were trying to get together there in Marion, and I just asked one of these questions that he asked in his book, and one guy, he said, I see where this is going. But nobody could really disagree. I mean, nobody could disagree with it, but nobody could really explain. The core issue was, we see in the book of Acts how that the Jews who believed continued to be zealous of the law. And that is proof that the Jews who believed Jesus, that were still zealous over Moses' law, following Moses' law didn't put them in conflict with Jesus.
Right.
And so that's proof. And that was the issue that really convinced me that I had some wrong views on some things. And, you know, I think as the church progressed to becoming more Gentile populated more by Gentiles, I think that's when the church started losing a lot of doctrinal soundness. When the church was there in Jerusalem, there was more unity, it was more established, and over time it seems like things started creeping in. It seems like things just started it started drifting away from apostolic practice and faith. But again, the question that I want us to ask ourselves is, are we truly thankful? You know, not just for what you have here, but just for everyday life. I mean, just whatever situation we find ourselves in. You know, sometimes it can be a challenge. Sometimes life can bring us situations that are really sad. Sometimes we can find ourselves in a place that we wonder, you know, is there any hope? But, you know, even in those places, I believe that we can have contentment. You know, Paul talked about whatever state he was in, he was content. Whether he was in jail for his faith, whether he was being beaten, you know, the peace of God, the true joy of God is not like happiness. You know, happiness is something that can kind of go away with your circumstances. But true joy is that which no man can take away. But I appreciate your time and hope it's been a blessing to you. Thank you.